I hadn't been recording. Oh my.
I'd like to pray.
Okay.
Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you so much, Father God, for the work that you're doing in Brother Dave's life, Father. And I just thank you for warning dreams, Father God. I thank you that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Father, that though you warned him in a dream, Father God, that it's not going to be his end, Father God, that he can have faith in you, Father God, to finish the work that you started in him, Father God, that you're faithful, Father God. You'll never leave him nor forsake him, Father God. And I just speak death to that lust of the flesh in the name of Jesus for desire. Father God, you heard his prayer. Father God, he said that he desires to be filled by your spirit. Your word says to not be drunken with wine, but to be filled by the spirit. Father God, fill him with your spirit. Father God, I pray, Father God, that you give him a heart, Father God, not of a servant, Father God, but as a son, Father God, a son willingly submits his life and his flesh, Father God, that he may bear fruit unto you because he loves you, Father God, not for fear, Father, but for obedience because of love, Father. I pray, Father God, that you give him a heart of a son, Father God, as Jesus had, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Father. And I just thank you, Father God, that he will no longer make any covenant with the flesh, Father God. Lust of the eyes, the pride of life, cutting the spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Amen. And we loose the angels to scatter those Canaanites and those Hittites and those Perizzites in the name of Jesus, Father. And we just thank you, Father God, that it is done, Father.
Amen.
Burn out all uncleanness, all unrighteousness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Go in the name of Jesus, Lord. I just thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's
Thank
done.
You, Jesus.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. All right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, everybody. Pats, you're free, brother. You are free. Okay, just a minute. Let me get Leon. He's been up sitting up there patiently. We'll get into that in just a second. Go ahead, Leon. You had your hand up. Okay. All right. All right. Let's see now. Let's see who that was. Theo says, or Lana says, we know the Bible speaks strongly about drunkenness. Can we go in deeper into this subject? Is alcohol prohibited? Well, the abuse of alcohol is. And if it's going to cause your brother to stumble, it is. So we have to be very careful about it. I don't, you know, drink a wine, little glass of wine here and there is not going to hurt. But a lot of people... some people can't handle that, as you know. As far as drunkenness goes, that's prohibited because you lose control of your faculties when you get drunk, and it allows the enemy to come in, and you don't want that. So, yeah, it's got to be very careful. Anybody else want to talk about that? Alcoholism.
I'd like to share just real quick that, you know, concerning, you know, we have freedom, you know, in all things, but we don't want to, like you said, we don't want to cause our brothers and sisters to stumble. But, you know, in Christ, our convictions are not always the same because sin is not the same to each and every one of us. So what might be sin to me is not sin to someone else. Or, you know, what might be a stumbling block to me is not a stumbling block to someone else. You know, where someone else has overcome, I may have not overcome. So that's why the Bible says we're not under the law. And, you know, so we all have to know. I think most of the time we just know what is something, a temptation to our flesh. You know, nobody really can tell us but ourselves and our conscience. And so if we go by that, you know, we're doing according to what we know to do, which is be led of our spirit and our convictions and our heart.
Go ahead, Tanya.
It was kind of strange. I could actually very clearly hear you guys praying in the spirit, and that still small voice went, that's Arabic. And I went, no way. So I typed in one of the phrases I heard and it came up, oh no thorn, as in O-H space N-O and then thorn. It was the, someone said a la choca, which literally is a phrase that says, oh no thorn. Now I don't exactly know, I don't know why I don't get the understanding on it. I just got that that's what that, what those words were, and I've never translated from Arabic before. Very interesting, because I think thorn in the side, like when Paul teaches about it, that's the thorn that I understand that thorn to be. Does anyone have more of an understanding on what I got? Oh, no, thorn?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, are you trying to interpret what somebody said with tongues? Is that what we understand? Is that what you're doing?
It wasn't like I wanted to. It's the first time I just heard that it was, you know, and the still small voice telling me that it was Arabic. And I just grabbed one of the phrases and Google translated it and it came out, oh no thorn. I typed it in the chat there.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm supposed to learn Arabic. I don't know.
Do you speak in tongues? Do you have a prayer language?
When I was first saved, my mom told me that I wasn't truly saved because I wasn't speaking in tongues, and I cried so hard to God why if I asked him into my life and wanted to be saved, why I didn't get speaking in tongues. And
That's not true.
Prayed in tongues, and right. I've always, you know, that hurt when I was a child, and I've never done it.
I want to set that aside. What your mom says is not true. You can be saved and not pray in tongues. All right.
So no, I've never been given to be able to pray in tongues, but I believed I've had an understanding of what other people have said before, but this is the first time I've spoke up.
All right. So probably what you might have heard, I don't think you're going to be able to interpret it unless you've got the gift of interpretation of tongues. And that would be, it'll come right to you and you'll understand it. Now, that is a gift, just like speaking and praying in tongues is a gift. But if the gift is the Holy Spirit. If the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gift. And when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after that, one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit always gives or will give, more than likely will be able to pray or speak in tongues like we all do here. And that's a heavenly language. It's a language that everybody here would speak in tongues and it wouldn't sound the same. We would all have our own different tongue, our own different language. And so without the gift of interpretation of tongues, I don't know. Let's say I wouldn't trust going on the internet and try to Google something you heard, because you might not really get a true interpretation of what somebody said.
She did say that she felt led to do that. So
right. It could be. But I you know, if you maybe you have that gift. Maybe you have a gift of interpretation of tongues.
Let me just qualify something for you, Tanya. The heavenly language that God gives us is a gift that we receive from Him. That is just a gift. He's going, if you want it, He said to ask and you shall receive. And if you want it, you got it. It's that simple. I know that sometimes we have blockings in our head. It takes a little while. But everybody that's a child of God has that gift available to them. And I'm going to tell you something. That gift is, a lot of people think it's the last gift that we need. But I'm going to tell you something. The gift of your heavenly language is, in my opinion, one of the most important ones. Because it infuses you with faith from the Lord. You understand what I'm saying?
Where is that teaching? Because when I looked it up, I found The only thing I could find was about the upper room and how they had tongues of fire and were speaking in foreign tongues. And then there were people outside the building going, I'm hearing this in my native language. That's the only story I can find about it. So I didn't find anything about a heavenly tongues.
Well, Paul talks about it in the Tanya, listen to me now.
Okay, if I can't finish a sentence, we'll have a great time.
Well, you just have to wait just a minute. Where'd she go? Uh-oh.
Yep.
Well, look, let's pray for her.
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I don't know what's going on, that the enemy is trying to create a little bit of faction here. In the name of Jesus, we command it. We bind it up and cast it out of here right now in Jesus' name. We cast it out of here in the name of Jesus. We cast down any kind of talking over, any kind of confusion. We command it to go. Any kind of wanting to take control, we command it to go in Jesus' name. Any kind of controlling spirits or hindering spirits, we command you out of here right now in the name of Jesus. And we bind up those spirits on Tanya, Lord, and we command them to go from her. Lord, we ask that you bring her back so that we can love on her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. Now listen to me, y'all. When somebody comes in like that, you have to be very careful about how you talk to them. Now she has she's wanting to learn. So what we have to do is be very patient with them and listen to them when we can. But when they get off on a tangent, it's time to, you know, shut it down and try to speak to them in a way that they can understand. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But has anybody got any questions or any comments about what just happened? Is everybody froze up?
You're the only one froze up. There you go.
Yeah, you froze up, Michael.
Okay. Anybody got anything you want to comment on? Uh-oh. Yeah. I froze up again, huh? Not anymore in the name of Jesus. We command that witchcraft to stop right now in the name of Jesus. We cast it down.
I'm next here. Go in the name of Jesus. Cast that witchcraft out of here in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. No more hindering our communications, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless Tanya. Lord, we don't hold it against her, Lord. Thank you, Father. We've lifted her up and we command that spirit of rejection and spirits of offense and curses off of her in Jesus' name.
Let them their eyes, that you heal Tanya's heart, Father God, from the wounds that her mother's words caused, Father God, and confusion, Lord, anger and unforgiveness, Father God, and pray that you heal her, Father, and that you just reach out to her, Father, and grace her, Father God, with your presence right now, Father, and allow her to continue to fellowship where she needs, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Okay, she just texted me. She said she'll see us Thursday. She didn't come to cause any arguments or division. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you've answered our prayer. We'll see her Thursday, Lord, and we're just going to love on her.
Thank you. Amen.
In Jesus' name, we command those spirits not to come back in here. In Jesus' name, you're not allowed. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I wasn't causing any strife or division, was I? I wasn't trying to.
Well, I know you wouldn't. People sometimes have to take we have to be a lot more patient with them than we're used to. I'm kind of like you, Dave. I just kind of blunt in there, and I have to, and a lot of people here can tell you that, but I've learned that certain types of personalities, you got to be a lot more patient with them. But no, you did okay. You did fine.
Yeah, I was trying to find out whether or not she knew or whether she had a tongue and get an understanding about what she did. Try to work her into, you know, teaching here about it. Maybe get her prayed into having a tongue tonight. You know, get the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. I was thinking to pray for receive.
That's where I was going, but anyway, we'll get it done.
Yeah. Has anybody else got any comments on that?
I was kind of wondering if maybe you would say, sure, in the text and text her back or something. Give her a nice reply of a few words, two or three.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to. I'd already thought about that, Andrew. Yeah, Angelica, go ahead. I'm sorry, Julie, I didn't see you up here until just now.
Yeah, I just wondered, that brought to mind a couple of questions, but yeah, I just, you know, we need to be the Lord of the Lord and, you know, give her grace and spirit of gentleness I'm not sure how long she's been in the Lord, but she, you know, she's got some growing to do, so just thank you, Father, for giving us all the grace to speak grace, Father, in love. And that she will receive that truth, Father God, and let go of any understanding, any false understanding that she may have, Lord. And I just thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. But then that brought to my mind the questions that, I mean, I've heard, you know, like she said in Acts, you know, they spoke the languages of the peoples. So I don't think it's impossible for the Holy Spirit to speak an earthly language. And you know, if she knew Greek or whatever word that was, then maybe she might have picked up on that, but
Well, I can tell you a story about Sandy. She was in a church, and she was just praying in the spirit, like we do sometimes in church. And after church, she walked outside, and there was two Chinese women behind her. She said, "You speak Chinese." She said, "No, I don't speak no Chinese." She said, "Oh, yeah, you speak the Chinese." I guess I'm speaking more like an Italian than I am a Chinese. But anyway, but the ladies told her, said that, yeah, you were speaking Chinese, and the Lord was speaking through you to us, and brought them to Christ because of it.
Yeah, so, I've heard that where this man was I guess he needed prayer for something, and him and a brother decided to pray in the spirit first, and he didn't know that this brother knew Russian or something, and so they started praying in the spirit, and then God was speaking a message to his brother in Russian, you know, as he just thought he was just praying in the spirit. He didn't get the understanding, but the other person did, you know, the person that spoke Russian. So I think that's possible, you know, because of the Lord. So.
Amen. Yeah, I believe it is too. As a matter of fact, I don't doubt that she felt led to do that. You know, Lord can do anything. I used to put him in a box, but I don't do it anymore because I didn't see him do too much stuff. Amen. Go ahead, Sue. Who? Somebody else had their hand. That was Julie. Go ahead, Sue.
I knew this one girl that she never spoke tongues in her life, and she's a believer and stuff. But she said when her and her husband went to Spain, all of a sudden she found herself, she didn't know it was Spanish. She started speaking to this person, and it was Spanish. And that person was Spanish, you know, she was in Spain. And she was preaching the gospel to this person, but she didn't know what she was saying. She never took Spanish in her life. So that, and she never had been filled with the Holy Spirit. So figure that one out.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's another instance of that is when David got translated over to that Eastern Bloc nation over there and ended up in a big mausoleum church over there full of, they thought was maybe Russians or Ukrainians or something, and preached the Word of God, didn't understand a word he said, and then the Lord brought him back and put him in bed. I figure someday somebody's going to come around and say, man, I saw you over there and wherever it was, preaching the word. Well, what did I preach? Oh, man, a bunch of people come to the altar that night. they said when he got into the pulpit, when he translated into the pulpit, said everybody started, yay, praise God, you know, praise God. They prayed him in there. They prayed him in there. That's what it sounds like to me. Go ahead, Sue. I'm just getting excited about what God would do.
Oh, no.
Well, I think the reason why the Lord wanted me to bring this one up is because it sounds like Tanya may not have had tongues, may not understand tongues. And this person that talked about going to Spain, she had never received tongues. She never even thought about asking for tongues. She just went to Spain with her husband to visit, but the Lord put tongues on her to speak the gospel for this woman. You know, I mean, it was like she didn't even know anything about speaking in tongues. She didn't really, because it was like at the church meeting that she was in was just a nominal one. You know, it wasn't like charismatic or anything like that. So I thought that was kind of, there's a connection there, you know, in a sense.
Well,
that maybe,
hey, look, like I said, you can't put God in a box. He can do anything. Right. Remember what happened to that kid that was insane? And they prayed for him, and the crazy guy came up and gave him a Bible, and another crazy woman came up and told him what to read. Remember that? And then he came out of that insane asylum just a few days later.
Yeah.
God can do anything. Gosh, everybody, who was next? Julie, go ahead.
When I was in the charismatic church, there was this woman that she never spoke French in her life. She was speaking French when she was speaking in tongues. And the only reason why she knew or she found out that she was speaking French was because this other sister that was in a mission field over in Africa, in certain provinces, they speak French as well as their native language there. But they'll speak some other languages besides. But they do say certain kinds of French. And this certain kind of French, it was not the normal France French, but it was from this African place. And she knew it. She knew what she was saying. And I thought that was awesome. I didn't know there was that many different kinds of French.
Okay, Pat. No, wait a minute. Julie. Somebody, I don't care. Somebody just go.
Oh my. Okay. I just wanted to ask if there was any connection or what you all thought. Angelica posted a couple scriptures from Proverbs and Ezekiel, and I just wondered if that was relevant to what was said and what we were praying about in Pat's dream.
That Proverbs 26:9 looks pretty good, don't it? Pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see that? Proverbs 26:9 says, as a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. All right. Somebody want to interpolate that for me? While I respond to this email.
Isn't that like saying, let me look at it real quick. Isn't that saying, you know, you put a thorn in your hand, you're obviously going to get cut, you know, or, you know, cause some pain there. So
that parable goes in, and when it comes out of a mouth of food, it generally comes back on him, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a thorn that goes up into the hand of the drunkard.
There's some there's another parable verse in 4 and 5 out of the same chapter where it says, the basic of it is there's one of the fools is someone new in the Lord, and the other fool is a real fool that says there is no God. So That might have something to do with this number ninth one, because in Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, there's those two verses that might correlate with this one. And I just don't have my Bible open.
Basically, but it's just basically saying that both are going to hurt you. You know, if you listen to somebody who's, teaching the word, wrongfully, it's foolish. And then it says, obviously, putting something in your hand that you know is going to destroy your walk with the Lord. That's just what the thorn represents there.
I was thinking as well too about the thorns and the briars. It's like they're weeds, and it's like the parable of the seed and the sower. The thorns choked out the seed, And anyhow, I'm just wondering if what she was hearing, wasn't anyhow that thorn's gone from you, Pat.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I think that's what she said. It said no thorn.
I think no thorn. Oh, no thorn. Yeah. So that's why I was just wondering. It's like, that thorn's gone.
What we can probably do Thursday night is talk a little bit about the gift of tongues and also our heavenly language, what the difference is and how they're used, So maybe we can bone up on that.
And also, I think she needs to know that what her mom said was, she said it in ignorance, and it wasn't meant to her. I mean, a lot of people say things they don't understand,
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, is she like from a religious background, or does she just come to the Lord? I'm sorry. I had never really met her.
Well, she's new in here. I don't know.
New to UVM?
Yeah. She's whose friend was she? She's somebody's friend. Came in here. I don't remember.
I don't think she is new to UVM. She had mentioned like years ago she had listened and she gotten away from it, and then she's just recently come back to listening to UVM, if I understood and remember correctly.
Well, yeah, that's right. She said that somebody had previously given her a Sovereign God book years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Who's next?
The good thing about a thorn in your hand is you can remove that thorn and heal up.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Any, many, miny, mo. Catch a rabbit by his toe. If he hollers, make him pay $50 every day.
Oh, I'll pay $75.
Well, go ahead, Pat. Hang on, Sue. We got people ahead of you here. Unless you got some people.
Unless you got 85.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. It has to do with the other scripture. Ezekiel 28.
Oh, spell 24. It.
20, that's what Angelica gave, Ezekiel 28:24.
Okay, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just, okay, I'll read it.
Down in the chat. Yeah, but.
And there will be no more for the house of Israel a prickling briar or a painful thorn from any round about them who scorned them, that they will know that I am the Lord God. Does that make sense with anything?
Not right offhand, no.
Well, I think was it Angelica that brought that one up? I thought that made connection too.
Okay.
He said no thorns.
All right. Okay, Pat, you better hurry.
I understood what she said. No more thorn, or it was oh no thorn.
Yeah.
When I was praying, I mean, I have to say that usually when I confess my sin, especially something as intense or potent, shall we say, it always mounts up in my mind. It's always earth-shaking type of thing or life-altering thing. And I begin usually, I'm going to say usually, I begin to think about all the ramifications and this and that, and then get depressed and getting, you know, I start to go into a big tailspin and self-condemnation and the whole thing. And I think the Lord took me right past that, right into commanding those spirits and putting and taking authority over every one of those spirits that that would push those buttons inside me in those times of temptation or whatever. And it was those things within me that God has released me from. And I think the no thorn it relates to that. And I think that what Angelica brought up in those scriptures, I'm going to have to set them to the side because it's one of those things that I see that there's something there, but it's not gelling right now. So I just have to let the Lord work on that process. But I had to ask something. The reason I raised my hand was that, matter of fact, let me put that hand down so I can eliminate that confusion. Dave, do you believe that the gifts that we receive were given at the baptism of the Holy Spirit or when we received the Holy Spirit? Is that when the gifts were given in individuals? Let me, before I get off, I'll throw it over to you. But I believe that God creates us with all of that in the day of creation when he created us before the foundations of the earth. And every one of those things are already placed in us. And like the process of conversion or salvation brought our awareness to the Lord Jesus and brought us into a whole awareness of a whole nother kingdom. Those kingdoms still exist. Everything within me still existed. I was just made aware of, you know, of the Lord Jesus, a whole, everything changed. Everything changed. And I believe that those gifts are already in us. And God simply needs to bring us through certain conditions or environments to bring our awareness so that we seek God and bring that out of us. And I just leave my thought that I go back to is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus obviously is at the foundation of the world, for good works which God afore or before prepared that we should walk in them. And so I think that even a person that may be struggling in ignorance or whatever, or not be aware of certain things or whatever, that God can still bring out those, you know, those gifts can still flutter through there every once in a while, not knowing anything
about it. Let me stop you just a minute, Pat. Are you talking about, we're talking about Christians. We're talking about people that have accepted the Lord, right? We're not talking about the world. Because the gifts are not available to the world. The word is real plain about that. It's only available to those who have Jesus.
I believe that's true. Mm-hmm.
But okay. I believe that they are put in people when they were created.
God's chosen.
Maybe wrong.
God's chosen, you're talking about.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, somebody have to help me. Leon.
Well, it's just like you were called from the foundations of the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You were chosen from the foundations of the world. So you could have those gifts in you because God knows who he's going to call. You know, you could have them implanted within you at the foundation of the world because God knows. And if the world per se doesn't have them all, but those that are chosen do. So, yeah, I think that's valid.
Yeah, just the chosen, not the world.
Right, right. Well, it says that God chose you from before the foundation. So you were chosen, you were gifted at that point. And as the Holy Spirit ministers through you, if you're doing what you should, if he ministers through you, then you'll be given each of those gifts. And you could have them all. And at one point or another, you'll use a gift. You don't always have a gift because it says, as the Spirit wills. So in whatever situation you're in, the Spirit wills that you have this gift or that gift or the other gift. So
let me ask you then a question. Let me just throw this out there. I'm not saying it's right or wrong or whatever. But did God save, hear me out when I say this, and then you can slap me around if it sounds heretical or whatever. You have to do that by Zoom, though. You just get your hands and clap or something. If a person has everyone on earth been given the salvation, the gospel, and you know what? Never mind. I'm not even going to go down this path. Let me think about that. I'll bring it up some other time. All right. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead, Stephen. Joe, you're next.
Just regarding what we were talking about, I was going to talk about Tanya as well, but the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11 tell us that for one is given through the Spirit, the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge. So not everybody gets all gifts, and he goes through the 9 gifts there, and he's saying that one gets this and one gets that, and it's as the Spirit of God decides to give out those gifts. So I would say that everybody doesn't have all those gifts unless the Holy Spirit gives all those gifts to that person.
That's a good point.
The other thing I was going to say, Tanya was asking about, she's saying that the only place that she knew that baptism of the Holy Spirit was talked about in tongues was talked about, not baptism of the Holy Spirit, the tongues was talked about in the scripture was the second chapter of Acts. But there's a number of scriptures that talk about the speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 12 is one, 1 Corinthians 14. But also it's talked, John talks about giving of the Holy Spirit. Jude talks about praying to edify to build up in the Holy Spirit. There's a number of different places that refer to the speaking in tongues in the scriptures. And I think maybe on Thursday when Tana comes back, it would be good to go through some of those scriptures as well as, you know, she knows she's familiar with the second chapter of Acts, but some of those other places where it distinguishes where this speaking in tongues is used for the building up of the body or building up of yourself. And then other places where it's used, like in 1 Corinthians 12, for together with interpretation as a prophecy. And then second chapter of Acts is a kind of a third application where the tongues were given, where it was actually people heard in their own language, even though one person was speaking, everybody was hearing it in their own language. So that was kind of a multiplexing of tongues that I haven't seen anywhere else in the scripture. So there's the different applications of scriptures, and I don't know if she's familiar with all of those. And I agree with also with, I think it was Julie that talked about how, what did she say?
About the spirit of rejection.
You know, about how, you know, the idea that she sounds like she maybe was in a religion at one time that taught that tongues is essential to salvation, and her mother was in that, and that's just not scriptural either. So yeah, we have examples of
that's some of those apostolic and Pentecostal churches believe that.
Yeah, UPC or something maybe.
Yeah,
but I mean, we have examples in Acts chapter 19 is one place. There's a couple places in Acts. I think the other ones are maybe chapter 7 or 8. Where there's a group of people that had received John the Baptist's baptism and they were baptized in water and they were born again Christian, but they hadn't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And so that clearly separates those two acts as separate. Paul the Apostle was born again and 3 days later got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's not always at the same time. Usually it's not at the same time. And so I don't know if she's aware of that either, but we could probably talk about those things on Thursday when she comes back on the call. That's all I had.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Go ahead, Joe.
Now, I had a testimony. I wanted to go back to what a couple, you know, folks said about the speaking a different language. There was a missionary to the Philippines. His family actually lived like 5 minutes from the border down there on Mexico. And, you know, he went across the border, I think, for a week years ago. And I remember he was telling me, I mean, this is like when I first came out of the apostate churches, and I had no idea about the gifts of the Spirit and tongues and all that stuff. And he told me, I remember he said, well, I spoke horrible Spanish. You know, I couldn't speak it, you know, if I could say, you know, to save my life. But then the moment he went across the border down there to minister to people, he was a evangelist as well. So I guess it's like a missionary evangelist. He would just speak in tongues and people understood him clearly. So yeah, I found that interesting. I was like, wait a minute, you don't know Spanish, but you just start speaking in tongues and people understand you. That's what's so powerful about it. You know, so I wanted to throw that out there that, yeah, there's probably countless examples of it, but that's one of them right there.
Go ahead, Malcolm. You've been patiently waiting.
Well, I'm out here weeding and digging holes in the dirt and whatnot. And I've got dirt all over my phone, so hopefully it keeps working. I was listening to what Pat was saying there in his train of thought. I've known people. I'm thinking of this one lady who, from a child, the Lord was exhibiting these gifts through her very, very young. And all through her life, later she got into teaching, and the Lord would show her what was going on with her students in their homes, all kinds of stuff. It was quite a gifting. And she was not always real, hadn't really been obedient to the Lord, and yet the Lord was operating through her. These gifts were in operation, or that particular gift anyway. But I think that even before, you know, somebody who may not have totally surrendered to the Lord, but the Lord has his hand on that person, I think that, you know, I think a lot of us see this way too, I think, but it's just, the Lord's working with us, like He did with Abraham, and worked with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, all these people. He knows the end from the beginning, and He's so I really identify with what Pat was saying, that that these gifts sometimes are there from the beginning. But then there's also, like Paul was talking to Timothy, he said to stir up the gift that was in you from the laying on of my hands. And I've heard people say that we don't get gifts by laying on of hands. I've heard different arguments, because I think there's been a lot of concern about the false revival, and you know, Todd Bentley would pass on this anointing and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I think there is a gifting that comes through the laying on of hands, like Paul was talking about to Timothy. I just say that, you know, if Tanya, if you're listening to this recording tonight, you know, if the Lord is giving you a gift, or has given you a gift to stir it up, you know, to stir it up, and focus on what the Lord has for you. Just go for broke. Okay, that's all.
Yeah, well, that's correct. Just get everything that's available to you. Okay, Judy or Sue or Gay Known, whoever's got the hand up there.
Okay, I put up on the board John 3:34, and I'm going to read it. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. And I have a question. If the Lord gives us the Spirit without measure, then whenever there's an opportunity that arises and maybe we're the only one there that He can use, then I would think that He would use that us in whatever capacity He needs at that time. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's my answer to your question right there.
Aw. <Dead. laughs> Oh, you had that.
The Lord can use, listen, if the Lord can use a jackass, He can use any one of us, okay? And I didn't, you know, that's a donkey. For those of you who don't know. I want to be sure and clarify that.
Amen.
Sorry for interrupting there. It was just a question Theo had for me concerning a verse I put in there, which was John 9:4. And in other versions, I don't think any other version has the first word "we" there. And it's the way it says it there. We must work the works of Him that sent me. And you know where this "me" is now. It's in Colossians 1:27. It's in you. So, and you got to work these works while it's still day, because the night cometh where no man can work. And of course, He's referring to when they're going to take Him at the cross there, because that's when He says, this is your time. It's the evening. It's the dark. Now you can take me and do what you're supposed to do with me. But that had to come for Him. So this is a very significant verse. The first part of this is, we must work the works of Him that sent me. And he included us, but in the King James, it says I. And in the New King James, I even think in the NIV, it says I. But that's a we, and that we means someone else too, and it's the works of Him that sent me, and Him is God the Father, and of course we have the Father and the Son together, because they both abide in us, according to John 14:23. But that comes, they were His disciples, and they were still His disciples after they got the life-giving Spirit and then the Holy Spirit. but they did, they were his disciples before, where they had some anointing breathed upon them, but they didn't have the life of Christ in them yet. So it's a transition, you know. So it's only the last chapter of each gospel where they get the Holy Spirit after the cross, you know, that those were the first guys in the upper room there. So, but when you look at this we here, you know, this is already a disciple of Christ he's talking to, but we should even be able to do it in those we's at that time when that we, forget it, was there, if you get what I'm saying. Because our we has the life, the regenerated life. We have the life and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So we've got Romans 8:9. We've got the both, you know. We've got the 9 where it says we have Christ's Spirit and God's Spirit. And they couldn't have that when this we was said. All they had was a discipleship with Christ. And they had the breath upon them. Just like a prophet would have received something from God when he was anointed. So, which they would operate in the Spirit of God, right? Or am I confused? Like, for instance, you know, if you're going to have the tree of life, what is this tree of life? If a man is likened to a tree, and it says the leaves are for the healing of the nations, and of course it's in one of the churches, the first church, it's he's going to give you to of the tree of life, to partake of the tree of life. And then in Psalms 1, it mentions that tree of life there too. It says something about likening a man to a tree. But this tree of life, well, it can only be one person for the healing of the nations, the part in the revelation there. That has to be Jesus Christ, that tree of life, and he's likened to that tree. And he was there in the garden too when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of good and evil, and all they had to do was take another fruit to get the life. But they couldn't take that fruit because Jesus was supposed to give that fruit on the cross. And he was also going to give us the fruit of his own life in us. So how is not this tree of life referring to the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would give you the fruits of good and evil, but also the leaves for the healing of the nations? So all you need for this is a leaf from Jesus who's likened to this tree of life. If you get the parable there. Or am I just on a crazy, if you're going to partake of the tree of life in the church of Ephesus in the seven churches, what is this tree of life? And what is that tree that was in the garden that they partook of? And all it says there in Genesis that if you take now of that life fruit, they would have eternal life and the knowledge of good and evil. So I'm kind of thinking that they're likening this tree of life to the Lord himself. I don't know if that's, you know, it's just something that popped into my head when I was studying the other day, and I was going, well, thank you, Lord. And I just never heard that before, and I just wanted to know if anyone heard anything like that before.
I don't know. What was you talking about? I've been doing this email thing, so, but I'll listen to it and find out what you're talking about.
Do I have to say it all over again?
No. Okay. No.
Did anybody hear me? Does it make sense, or am I just
gone? You talk about Jesus as a tree of life?
Yeah.
Well, I'd go for that.
Okay.
Julie?
Expound on what? Well, not expound on. I guess what was coming to me, Andrew, is Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and they are life, and they bring life." And you know, it's the word of God. He is the word of God, and that's what the healing of the nations, the leaves are, the tree, the, it all points back to Jesus. It all points back to the word of God, who is from above, from God. That's what I was getting from what you were saying.
Yeah, I believe David even teaches that. One of his studies, I don't remember which one. Okay, anyone else? Hi, Gabe. Amen. Okay, I missed the first hour of recording this thing. And so that's gone. Go ahead, Angelica.
Yeah, I'd just like a prayer of agreement for my cousin, Richard, who is a believer and, you know, has the truth of the word. I don't know, you know, some, I've shared some of the, you know, stuff from UBM, but I don't know. He's never really responded, you know, after sending things. And so anyway, I know that one time I was praying with him, you know, about, you know, receiving the tongues, just saying it's a thing of faith, you know, just, you know, allowing, you know, the Holy Spirit to speak through you. And, you know, you just have to give him the mouth, you know. Yeah. And so anyway, he's out in the valley by himself, and there's not a lot of like-minded believers. Really, there's none. I mean, and so I just would like to pray that, if he hasn't already, because I hadn't talked to him, but that the Lord would bless him to receive tongues, because he needs that edification that it brings, and he needs those, you know, the Lord to speak through him, to pray through him for the things that he doesn't know he needs. And so I just wanted to pray that. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you my cousin Richard, Father God, and I know that you love him dearly, Father, and I pray, Father God, that that you would bless him with the gift of speaking in tongues, Father, to be built up in his most holy faith, to be edified in you. And I pray, Father, that if there be any doctrines of devils and teachings, Father, in the past that would hinder his faith in this way, Father, that you would totally dissolve those things from his mind, Father, and just bless him to just step out in faith and to reread your scriptures and revisit those things, put it on his heart, Father, so that he can be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. And I just thank you for doing it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We believe with Angelica that it is done.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Do you need something, Denny?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Who is that? Malcolm, go ahead.
User one. I was just... You know, I was thinking about what I had said earlier about Paul's admonition to Timothy to stir up the gifts, the gift that is in you. But I was also was kind of reminded me of, and also I've just been thinking of, like, you know, about what Angelica was saying. And one thing I like to do is go back if I miss some of the fellowship time. I like to go back and listen to it. You know, download the recording and listen to it. I don't always do that, but I try to. But it also that text reminded me of, and I think it's in Isaiah, where God is saying, you know, there's nobody that is stirring himself up to take hold on me, and that's pretty serious for God to say that
nobody is stirring himself up. Of course, he's, I think it's a call to stir ourselves up, to take hold of the Lord. So it's just, I think I'm speaking more to myself than anybody else, but there's a lot to think about there to, you know, what does it take to stir ourselves up? And of course we're dependent on the Lord for that, but he's talking to us in the way that we think and something we can relate to. So anyway, well, just thought I'd bring that up.
What could it be that he's talking
about? I just
about?
Enjoy these fellowship calls. I just love you all.
We love you too.
Well, you better. All right.
No, what I was thinking about when you were talking about that, stirring yourself up, your spirit up, stirring your spirit up, you can do that. Go ahead, Joe.
I'd like to get a little prayer for myself there, like kind of what Angelica was saying. I was reminded of Rex Verone's teaching about the Holy Spirit and when he got tongues. And I've kind of thought about that from time to time. So I don't know if this is there needs to be more understanding of the gift, the personal language, because I mean I've had it for some time, well, almost a year now, and I like the benefits I see. I mean personally, you know, from my own walk. But I remember he was saying for about 8 months, I think he kept saying Abba, Abba. You know, he just kept saying that one word over and over. And then he said, well, Lord, I'd like a language. Can you give me a language? You know, so I was like, I don't know if that takes more faith or what. I'd like prayer in that area, you know, because it's like, okay, I'm speaking something, whatever it is. But I thought, well, Lord, give me more of a language, or, you know, a more thorough language. So.
It's kind of funny what he told the Lord. He said, Lord, I have this language and I love this language. Don't get me wrong. I love the language. Uh-huh. But, and he said, I say Abba, 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 Abba all the time. He said, I love that language, but Lord, could you give me just a little more? And the Lord gave him the full language. So, yeah, he'll give it to you. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And he wants to give you whatever you want. You don't like the language you got, well, ask him to give you another one. How's that?
Amen.
Well, just ask him and we'll believe with you.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, I thank you for the personal language you gave me. I remember the testimony of a brother years ago was telling me when he was tired on the job, he would just pray in tongues and it, like the energy would come back in his body. And I've seen that in my own life, Lord. And I see how it just, there are personal benefits as a believer to have a language. So Lord, I want a more thorough one. You know, I want one to where, you know, it sounds like more of a language, Lord. So, you know, I'm just asking for that, Lord, by faith there. And I thank you for that. And Lord, give me more of a wisdom and understanding on tongues, you know, so I can have a greater understanding of what I'm doing here and what the purpose of tongues is, you know, because it's very limited. So thank you for this, Lord. And, you know, I just thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Angelica says she had a dream about you, Joe.
Yeah, I saw that. I was about to ask that. Okay.
Okay. Well, she said basically you were in your backyard and you started your lawnmower to cut the grass.
Okay. That's the flesh.
Well, it could be. But I hope it is.
Exactly. Yeah, I was like, oh, I hope that's what. Yeah. It better be the flesh.
That's the basic gist of it is that, you know, you're about, I left out that I was trying to start it for you, but it wouldn't start. And so, you know, you went to starting to start it right up. So I think the exhortation is that, it's our willingness to cut our, you know, our flesh off that gives us the power to do so, you know? And, so, you know, you have that, God's giving you that drive to put down the flesh and the grace to do it.
Amen. That's been some prayers lately just to kind of, Lord, help me to deal with this flesh. So,
I'd like to pray for my own tongues too. That'd be kind of nice.
Okay.
I've heard some really beautiful tongues and I'm just like, why does my sound so funny? But, you know, I'm thankful anyway. But anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you so much for the gift of tongues. I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ gave his life that we might all be partakers, Lord God, and that we would be given this special gift, Father God, of the Holy Spirit that puts us in unity, Father God. It's the only thing that brings us all together is your Holy Spirit, Father, and I just thank you so much for that, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that you would increase our prayer language, Father God, each and every one of us, if we so desire for an increase in our prayer language and our time praying in the Spirit, Father, edifying ourselves, Father God, building, and that you would build us up, Father God, through your Spirit, Father. And I just thank you so much, Father God, for peace upon this body, Father God, that we all have gifts, Father God. It's all by faith. We can have the gifts that we have faith for, and we all have a purpose, Father God, according to your will. You distribute according to your will, according to your Spirit, Father. And so I just thank you, Father God, for blessing us to know what our purpose is in you, what our giftings are, Father God, that would be perfected in those gifts. There's a scripture that says that no gifts were perfected, and that was a rebuke to the churches, Father. So I just pray that every single one of us knows what our gifts are, Father God, because we only play a part in the body, Father, and we're not meant to be glorified and have everything, but we do, you do have a purpose and a plan, and we only play a part. So I just pray, Father, that you reveal to us what our purpose is and what our part is, Father, and that we would pray for the best gifts, Father God, but it's all according to your will, and we just thank you so much for that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, Phil.
I have a prayer request as well, and so does Lana. Dear Lord, Father God, you know our hearts desired, and many times when Lana and I pray, she has different tongues come out, and they change all the time. And Lord, I would like to be able to interpret these tongues, Lord, and so we could be edified by what you want to tell us, Lord. You show me what is being said, Lord. Expand my tongues as well, Lord. I thank you for this, and I'm ready for the pouring out of your Spirit, Lord. And I thank you for this, Lord. Amen.
That's a great prayer. I pray that myself. That's a good prayer. Amen. To pray to be able to interpret your prayer language, and he'll do it too. Go ahead, Lord. Amen.
I actually just want a prayer of support. I'm believing for a lot of things right now, and it is my nature to mentally keep a list, and I keep getting rid of it mentally, but my old nature keeps coming back, and logic keeps interrupting. It doesn't discourage me. It doesn't stop me from believing, but it's always, my mind is always checking in on all the obstacles or all the logistics that could be getting in the way of many of these things that I'm believing for. So if you could pray for me that this stops, that I can just rest in the Lord and continue to believe regardless of what I see, because I do believe, I know that I do. But those questions that keep popping up about certain circumstances, they're just out of my control, and I shouldn't have to dwell on them, and yet they keep coming back as if to try to interrupt. And I don't want it. And I've pushed it away, but probably need some solid rebuking and binding up here. So I'd appreciate that.
We bind up those spirits of self to interfere with your spiritual life right now. In the name of Jesus, we cast you down. And command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to cease your activity against Lana right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that from when she prays in the Spirit, that she has clarity of thought through to you. And Father, we praise you for that. And Lord, we thank you that when she prays, that you give her the bold faith to believe and to rest in the knowledge that it's done deal. It's already done, and all she has to do is trust you, Lord. And when that enemy comes back around and tries to torment her, Lord, we thank you for her to take out, just like Jesus did, take that sword of the Spirit out and whack that enemy right in the head. in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing in Lana, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that she is going to have, from this point on, clarity of thought and know exactly when that enemy comes in there, she has to whack it with the spirit of the word. Thank you, Lord, the sword of the word. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's see. Angelica's saying something here. What is that?
It was for me, Michael. I just I asked what exactly it meant about that dream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
All right. Well, it turned out to be a good one. I'm kind of slow starting. Yeah, Phil.
Hey, Michael, I have a question. I've been reading Sovereign God, the PDF copy from online. I downloaded it, and I noticed that there was a paragraph that was repeated and wasn't caught. Should I just email tech support about that?
Let's see. That's Brandy and Amber. I said that'd be Amber. Amber@UVM1.org.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't have said that. That gimmick. But anyway, you go. You got it. Because everybody in the world has it now.
You can go right to. There's a link if you. It's like tech support, and it's an email for tech support too. And it'll go to whomever it's directed to.
Yeah, I'll go to Brandy, which is Amber's husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can
do that. Yeah. Well, thank you for that because they're always making editing changes, you know. Go ahead, yep. Malcolm.
I think a lot of us have had this experience, but.
But what?
That I felt it would help me to receive the Holy Spirit. Not knowing that I'd already, the Holy Spirit had already been poured out, all these things. But anyway, you live and learn. But I was speaking a few syllables for months before all of a sudden the Lord gave me a full blast language with, you know, all the, I mean, it was everything. But it was many, many months that I was just, because these few words I could, or letters, not letters, syllables. I actually don't even know what they were because I don't understand the language. But anyway, I think it's just a matter of receiving. Like David's talked about this at length in the broadcast. It's just a matter of realizing that the Holy Spirit's already been given and it's just to receive it now. We don't have to wait.
Amen. Well, I know we're out of time, but I do want to express it. Sometimes when I pray in the spirit and I'm warned against the enemy, it's a different language than when I like just praying in the spirit to edify myself. The Lord can change your language depending on what you're doing, what you're praying. So just be aware of that too. Just lobby change.
Amen. Just be a willing vessel and be submitted to the Lord. Let him pray through you. And I sometimes tell him, you know, it's like, Lord, I want everything you have for me and all the gifts. I want to be used as you see where there's a need and, you know, just be willing. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 12, to, you know, earnestly desire the greater gifts, whatever that may be, you know, I want that. And so just ask. And, you know, when the time comes, God's going to do it.
Amen. So, yeah, that's basically the way it happened to me, too. I begged God and asked every preacher I could that would lay hands on me to lay hands on me for time. And finally, I just got out in my shop one day thanking God. And boy, did he pour it out on me. It was cool. Yeah. Amen. I floated around there for 4 hours talking in tongues. It's in my shop. Every tool in there was anointed. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody else before we get out of here? Or I shouldn't say get out of here. I should say, what should I say? Something a little more.
I feel it.
No.
Before we wish each other a good night.
There you go. Thank you, Judy. I got to be a little bit more diplomatic here.
Before we turn in.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Lord,
to
I just
chambers.
Think, yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that
it's goodbye for now.
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to get a good night's sleep tonight. You said in Psalms 127:2 that you have blessed us with a good night's sleep, and I believe it, and I'm just praying it on everybody here, that everybody here is going to get up in the morning fully refreshed, full of the Holy Spirit, ready to go to work for God. It's going to be an awesome day tomorrow. Father, we just praise you that for all the dreams you're going to give tonight, too. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless everybody. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, all right.